This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Today, I got a guest that I actually only met recently, so this is kind of like a introduction again, and we're probably going to dive deeper than we did the first time in a Koreatown when we met. This is Jimmy O. Yang, a comedian, actor, renaissance man. I don't know what else he does. Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on the show, bro.
Of course, man. Last time we were at, what was it, some Cuban restaurant?
Nah, it was a... Argentinian grill,
like Argentinian. Just being racist.
Asado, yeah.
It was delicious.
It was good. And that was the first time I met you. I met you just like through social media, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe through Awkwafina or something that we met through.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah.
Because I've known you for a long time, just know of you, but right. I've never met you.
That's a crazy thing. Like after just, you know, after you gave me your book and I read a little bit about you, I was like really surprised how LA you were and shit.
I know, right? Like,
it's just weird. I always see, every time I see like an Asian comedian or something in town and like, or like doing their thing, they're always like non-LA.
No, I mean, nobody is in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Barely anybody is from LA. But that's what's great about K-Town. It seems like people have their roots here also.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing about you. When I read your shit and like you went to like John Burroughs
down
middle school, that's like you're like a straight up LA Asian American dude. You know what I'm
for
saying?
Sure. For sure. Well, I missed the first 13 years in LA, but then after that, it was all LA. When people ask me where I'm from, like I don't know. Sometimes I just tell them LA. Sometimes I tell them Hong Kong. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, being 13 and coming here is like straight up Asian American thing. You know what I'm saying? Very. Like, I know gang of Koreans that started their American life around that age and shit. You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, in my school too, like John Burroughs and stuff. Yeah.
That's when I heard John Burroughs, I was like, "Damn, bro, you're damn near K-Town, bro." Because
that was all the Asian kids in the school were Koreans. There was like maybe one or two Asian kids.
I went to John Burroughs. I went to John Burroughs for like, well, not in my middle school. I went during like summer schools. So like when I would fuck up in middle school and like I would have to make it up during summer school.
Yeah.
They would send me to the most closest middle school to me, which was John Burroughs.
Oh.
And John,
you were fucking up in middle school already?
Yeah, I had like, bro, I couldn't graduate on stage unless I went through summer school and all this stuff.
Damn,
and,
dog.
I went to summer school every year of 6th through 8th grade, bro.
You're not Asian at all.
I know. I mean, you know, we're all like underachieving Asians, but
that's why we're here.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, when I read about the John Burroughs UCSD, I was like, yeah, we're the same kind of Asian.
You didn't go to UCSD.
No, I didn't go to college.
Yeah, fuck UCSD. That's probably my biggest regret. And it's hard for me to say as an Asian person, going to college, it was my biggest regret.
You think so? Why?
Oh yeah, just a waste of fucking time. Waste of money, waste of time.
Well, in your industry.
Well, yeah, also, and I went to school for economics. I didn't learn anything.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was smoking weed and like being depressed. And, you know, after that, I did stand up and all. I wish I would have went to like film school. That might have been helpful. But the whole notion of having to pick a major when you're 18 years old to decide what you want to do for the rest of your life, that's insane.
I imagine all these like Instagram influencers and shit that went through like crazy ass colleges and they're just like outfit of the day.
Yeah.
That shit is wild, bro.
And they still owe, well, they don't because they're rich, but like people still owe like $100,000 in college debt for what? You know what I mean?
I have like a young homie who's like early 20s and he's just, every time we meet up, he's stressing about like, paying off his student loans.
Dude, seriously.
I'm like, bro, don't worry about it. Like, you're going to get old and just not do it. He's just gonna
just let it go, man.
Yeah,
fuck your credit up for a couple years and you're fine, dude.
Every time I see him, he's just sweating like I owe $100,000. I'm like, you know, that's not gonna happen. You're just gonna owe it, and you're just gonna have to just file for bankruptcy or some shit.
Oh my god, colleges are the most gangster institutions,
bro.
Right, like, because it's like you owe the mob money right when you graduate.
That's just crazy.
Maybe you get a job, maybe you don't.
I literally, like, I didn't graduate high school, which is already, like, crazy.
Where'd you
like,
go to high school?
I went to a local ones around here. I went to Marshall High School.
Uh-huh.
I went to Belmont. They're all, like, around this area.
What were you doing? Fighting in school? Doing drugs?
Nah. I wasn't, like, a gang. I was like, a nerdy dude, but I was, like, a stoner, and I just ditched a lot of days of school. You know what I mean? I wasn't a gangster or nothing. I was a complete nerd, you know? Yeah. But, like, I just, my day would consist of, like, our stoner friends meeting before school started in front of the school. And we were like, all right, let's get out of here. And we'd go to, like, a friend's garage. We'd spend a whole, like, 6 hours scoring 1 gram of weed. And then we'd smoke it. And that was our day and shit. Like,
what do you mean spending 6 hours? Like, calling the dealer?
Like, finding the deal. Exactly. Like, the whole, most of the process of us was getting the weed together. And then smoking it only took like 10, 15 minutes and shit. Like, God.
How are kids going to school these days? You can just go down to the store and just buy weed.
Bro, I'm telling you. I mean, they're probably hitting their jewels inside the classroom and shit.
Oh,
and
they like, I am sure. That's the vaping these days, man.
That shit is crazy, bro. I saw like an interview thing. You're talking about John Burroughs and like how the school was, middle school. I remember when I was going there to summer school. It was intimidating, man. Like, there was, like, it was mad diverse, and it's kind of like a cool middle school.
Was it? I don't know, because that's the only middle school I knew, and I came straight from Hong Kong.
Oh, you were straight up fob when you went.
Straight up fob. Like, I could barely understand anything. Like,
fresh off the boat, right onto the campus.
Yeah, that was my first impression and my only impression of America when I first came. And, yeah, it was super diverse.
Right.
There was kids selling weed, I remember. And then there's, like, the black kids were, like, dunking. And I was like, what the fuck? This is what people are doing when they're 13?
I remember I was in John Burroughs for summer school. I was wearing red Chucks, and some dude, like some black dude who was a Crip, like steps on the back of my heel. It's like, watch where you going, cuz. It was like
eighth grade.
I was like, bro, look at this. I'm a Korean dude with glasses and braces. I am not a blood. Like,
yeah.
Shit was mad intimidating, bro. But yeah, man, I mean, that's the experience. I remember going to a high school around this neighborhood, like it was like 90% Latino and 5% Asians, and all the Asians were fobs, you know? So I was like, where do I kind of fit in? You know what I mean?
Do you speak Korean?
I do. I speak fluent Korean.
Okay, so did you hang out with the fobs or no?
No, because I was way more, I wasn't like a fob.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, the Asians don't even fuck with the fobs, because that's two different groups. That's like the skaters and the jocks.
For sure.
It's two different things. Because when other people see it, they're like, oh, they're Asians. Why aren't they hanging out? But one of the, when I first came here, like, the Asians definitely didn't want to fuck with me because they didn't want to be looked at as one of the fobs.
Right.
You know, so it makes sense, but I was just like, oh, shit. Even the Asian kids don't want to fuck with
me. That happened with me too. You know, it feels weird when you're just an outsider in your own shit. Like, the only time I'll hang out with other Asians, like, be jailed or something. You know what I mean? and even in jail, the Asians are with, like, the whites, I think.
Yeah, how does that work? Like, you got gangs in jail?
My homies who've been in jail tell me great things. No, I'm kidding. They say they side with the white side.
My buddy told me if I ever go to jail, not that I'm planning on it, he said, tell him you're a cook so you can get to hang out with the Filipinos in the kitchen.
The Filipinos are in the kitchen?
I guess. They just, yeah, that, and that's like a safe job. That's what my buddy told me. So, you know, you ever go to jail, now you know.
I don't know if I'm going to trust any of my homies' advices when I go to jail, bro. Now, I have this theory about different Asians being sent to different places of the country. So, like, for instance, like in America, all the Asians who come here, and then compared to all the Asians who are from America and then later on decide to go to Asia, we just send the shittiest Asians from each country to each other's country.
You think so?
I have a feeling about this because I say this because I live in Koreatown and I go to coffee shops and all this shit, and it's all like fobs. And they got the worst fucking service, like the shittiest. And they're just like, I've partied with these fobs around here, just totally just fuck ups. You know what I'm saying?
So they're the unwanted Asians and they sent them away.
Yeah. And then I noticed over here, all the Asian American dudes that later on go to Korea, like fucked up in some way over here.
Right. Because, well, there's got to be some reason you're leaving your country, right? You're not doing well. Family's not doing well. Or you're escaping from something.
Exactly.
You fucked your credit up in America.
I know a lot of Asian gangster dudes who moved to Korea in the early 2000s, and they still dress like 90s gangsters out there. Like, they're in a time capsule.
Cool.
They're in a time capsule. They're still in long white tees and Dickie shorts.
It's like a dude that just got out of prison after 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, still in FUBU.
They're in Carl Kanai and shit, like walking around. No, it's literally like they're stuck in a time capsule.
But are they considered cool in Korea wearing like old stuff? Because to us, that's like played out.
Nah, Korea's advanced now.
But is it so advanced that that's retro now?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's actually a good point.
FUBU's about to come back. Like, Fila's coming back. Champion's coming back.
Those brands are interesting because in certain countries, they're not as like the way it went through here in the timeline. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's still kind of fresh and new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, to me now, like, if I had a FUBU thing on, it'd be like a cool throwback thing to have.
It's ironically funny.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost, I think given another 5 years, people will be wearing FUBU again.
I love it. It was just like a strong, like, black brand, like, for us, by us.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, there's fools in Korea just rocking the shit out of it.
So great. It's so great.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. So your book, How to American.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up. Where was the shot right here, by the way, this picture?
Oh, this I had this idea for a long time. So the cover of the book is me holding a little American flag, wearing a American Eagle shirt.
Yeah.
I actually brought a FUBU jacket to the shoot, but we didn't get clearance on that.
That's
but
tight.
I did wear some Jordans. So it's me wearing the most American things.
Right.
Right. But, you know, having this really fun grin on my face. And I'm sitting on this like lazy boy with a bong, just all around America, Americana around me.
Right.
With my Asian face. So I thought that would be interesting. We shot it in like a photo studio in downtown, I think. But I'm glad the idea... It's great when you have something as an artist, like you have something in your mind, and when it actually is done, it's exactly what you imagine. It's rare, but it happens, right? I'm sure with you and songs, when you have a beat in your mind or something like a song mm-hmm. in your mind, a hook, and it actually turns out exactly how you want, it feels great.
It does. It does. And it's like, you know, sometimes like the things that happen the most smoothest, it's mm-hmm. like, it's great. And like, that's when it comes out natural. Like I always say, if I spend like, if it's taking me more than like 45 minutes to write a chorus, then mm-hmm. I gotta move on.
Didn't they say Migos like only spend 5 minutes on each song?
Bro, like that's amazing to me.
That's why it's probably so good. It feels so free.
They just have so much synergy with each other.
Great. They can talk about anything.
Yeah. Are you a sports fan or what?
I am a Clippers fan, yes. I have season tickets to the Clippers. They're worthless now. Chris Paul and Blake are gone, so it's worthless.
The NBA is wild right now.
Yeah, but I get to see LeBron now a couple times a year. That's nice.
That's tight. Yeah. Are you a sneakerhead? Like, do you fuck with Jordans and shit?
I kind of did. My dad bought me my first pair of Jordans was back in Hong Kong when I was like 10, 11. That was the Jordan 12s.
Mm.
Those, I love those, the Obsidians. I got those and I was like the coolest kid in school in Hong Kong. Now I'm getting back into it. I went through a phase. I got, you know, everybody, when you first make money, you want to buy the shit you had when you were a kid.
Dude,
when you never could when you're a kid.
I'm straight going through that right now.
Yeah.
And then I buy it and I'm like, fuck, I feel weird in them, you know? Like, I never was a Jordan. Like, I was never,
right.
I never had Jordans or anything. And
you got to commit. It's a whole, you can't just be sure. wearing, like, chinos and then a fucking pair of Jordans.
No.
It's weird.
Because, I was, like, a skater kid, but I was also into basketball, and I always loved Jordans, like, and then I never wore them, though. And then now that I can afford them, I'll get them, and I put them on. I'm like, oh, this feels, like, bulky or weird. Like, I can't get into them. So now I just have them like a collection of shit.
Same. I barely wear them.
For sure.
I barely wear them.
It's a collection of shit that I couldn't get back then. Just look at it. It's like a wall of trophies and shit.
Yeah, just you feel good when you buy it, but you don't actually need to wear it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember Hong Kong life or what?
Yes. Yes and no. So I think a normal person would remember age 1 to 13 much better than I do. But because I don't live there anymore, I don't speak that language on a daily basis anymore.
Right.
So, like, there's a part of my brain that's, like, stored away.
That's crazy.
it gets like kind of some memories get like reactivated when I talk to my brother, or like when I look at some pictures, or when I speak Cantonese or something.
Right.
But for the most part, I can't really tell you a lot of stories.
It was probably like the least like independent time of your life. Probably that's probably why, you know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because I feel like when you came to America, even though you had your parents and you're still a young kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in your own world now because your parents are, like, that older generation in a different country.
Right.
And now you're just, like, in this whole fucking world together. Your parents are probably not even helping you navigate through that shit.
They couldn't if they wanted to, you know what I mean? But the good thing is there's still something to fall back to because it's a strong nuclear family with, you know, my family and a lot of Asian families. But another thing that I found interesting that I talked a lot in my book was it was – like in Hong Kong and Asian culture in general, it's so much about family, obedience, and doing what people told you and just following the rules. Whereas here, the American mentality is finding your own independence and finding your own way, pursuing your dreams and stuff like that. And it's like the total opposite. And like for the longest time, I wasn't sure which creed I'm living. Obviously now I'm an actor and a comedian. Like it seems like I'm taking the American path.
Right.
But at the same time, I still got to be respectful to my parents, you know, and be obedient to whatever they say and stuff like that. It's an interesting dynamic, and it's a line that I'm sure a lot of Asian American kids have walked. And it's not easy.
It's not. It's not.
Yeah, mentally, it's draining sometimes.
No, I feel that way. I mean, I think I'll always have that element of respect for my parents. Like, mm-hmm. just no matter how many times, like, you know, they've been a shitty parent too or whatever, you know, it's like I'll never ever like cross that line.
I know my dad is bullshitting sometimes, like just talking about like shit that are just not even true or something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I step up to him, I'm like, dad, this is not right, like you can't, you know, da 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 da. He was like, you don't talk to your dad like that. I never talked to my dad like that. You can't talk to your dad like that. And right. then there's just no rebuttal. What am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah,
I know,
and you just end up looking at yourself. You're like, yeah, he's right.
Well, I'm just gonna go punch a hole in my wall. Fuck it.
No, you know? It's like there's a lot of pent up anger, I think, in Asian people.
For
because
sure,
of it,
dude. The whole culture is about pent up anger, because you can't. There is. Now looking back, I wish I was a little more rebellious to going through that rebellious phase to kind of become your own man, become your own, have your own independence, and find your own way.
Right.
Because I think everybody needs to go through that, or else. You kind of just live in the shadow of your parents, and then you live with a lot of pent up anger, which is I feel like what a lot of Asian people are doing.
There's not a lot of opportunities after you get older, I feel like, to kind of make that a little better too, you know, because we just start kind of living in this way of like, this is how, okay, it's just the parents.
Yeah, and like they're like 70. What am I gonna get in a fucking argument with my dad?
That's real shit.
What am I gonna smoke weed in his face? He's fucking 70.
But you know what? I think parents, like for instance, my parents got a lot more chill, you know, because they're older. It's like, I remember they used to trip out about my tattoos, and my sister is like blasted from neck down.
Really?
And she's my little sister, you know? So it's like Los Angeles tatted across her stomach in old English, you know? And I have Koreatown tatted across my chest, so we just have the whole fucking city and zip code and shit. But it's crazy. Like, they used to trip out like a motherfucker, but now it's like, what are you going to be mad about? You know what I'm saying?
And also, you've made it. Like, in a way, I think they were just tripping because it's a safety and security thing. They think, and they're not wrong. In the old country, if you had tattoos, you're in a gang.
Right.
Or
right.
if you are in the arts, you'll probably be fucking homeless.
Right.
Here, they don't understand it's like real opportunities and this is just like an art form, the tattoos and hip hop and comedy and stuff like that. So after like I got on a TV show, they're like, okay, as long as we don't have to worry about him, we're not gonna be mad at him.
Right, right.
Because I think that was the reason why they were so hard on us is they want us to have that good life that they never had, maybe.
Right.
Or the opportunity.
Once in a while, bring a couple checks through little envelopes here and there.
Oh, exactly.
Keep the parents happy.
You got to do it. Like, we were born with a student loan debt as Asian kids.
It's almost like the shut the fuck up money. It's like, here you go. Just just stop getting on my case right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I feel that, man. You know, it feels good. You know what I'm saying? It feels good to be able to take care of family and also, like, my whole thing is I love when my parents' friends, their kids fuck up badly. Oh, I love that shit.
That's great.
Like, I have, like, my dad is in the business, like, in downtown of wholesale stuff. Uh-huh. I grew up with, the whole scene of Koreans with businesses out there and their kids.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm like, oh, damn, I'm doing better than 90% of these Korean
that's
fucks.
That's great. And you know Asian parents will compare, too.
Oh, they
like,
do.
If you got a cousin that's doing good, it's like, you know, he just bought his dad a house because he got a promotion at Goldman Sachs. I'm like, man, fuck that dude,
real
man.
Shit. You know? Yeah, real shit. I'm just blessed that, you know, most of my family friends' kids are fuck ups. Like they're not success stories. Real shit. Like my whole thing is like I just tell my dad, like, aren't you glad I didn't turn out like that guy? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For I'm like, sure. Like I'm not like the biggest success, but I tell my dad, like, hey, at least I'm not like that guy in rehab right now. You know, like, it's just
exactly.
That's the shit that I brag. Like, I'm just like, I'm
it's
better
good.
Than him.
It's good to have something to compare to, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's so funny. Like, that's always been the shit. I used to hate when they do that, you know? And the worst thing now is, like, friends I introduced, because, you know, our friends change over the years. Mm-hmm. And in the last 2-3 years, I've introduced a lot of my close friends in the entertainment business. You know, whether it was like Nora, Awkwafina, mm-hmm. my boy like Anderson .Paak, who's like a crazy famous musician. Mm-hmm. So I introduced them like 3-4 years ago to my parents, and now they're just like fucking killing it, you know? And they're just like, how come you're not in fucking Ocean's 8? And I'm like, I'm not, there's no dudes in that heist movie. Like, and my boy's killing it on. It's like my mom will see them on like Korean TV too. Like Nora did an interview on Korean TV.
That's when they legit. When they do the local Korean Chinese paper.
That's
the TV show.
And I never worried about it until my friends started sneaking into those media outlets. Like Nora was like the one plug into the Asian media outlet because she's the Asian girl in the heist movie, you know?
My parents do the same shit when they see like a new celebrity, like an Asian celebrity, like on a Chinese newspaper. Do you know Natasha Liu? She's like in the Crouching Tiger, the second
Yes.
And she blew up in China, right? And then my parents just look at the newspaper. He's like, oh my God, do you know this girl? Like, this girl is doing so great, blah, 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 da, da, da. I'm like, Dad, I'm on a TV show. Like, how come you never talk about me like that? Like,
right.
I actually know her. Like, we're friends. She was like, and then he's like, really? Like, can I meet her someday? Like, please? Like, can I just take it? I'm like, no, Dad, no. We're just friends. Like, and like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why don't you do that with me?
Right. Know? It's because you can't. They don't have time to judge, like, what your significance is in pop culture,
well,
too.
Can't. They don't
you know?
Get it. It's like, I'm always their son. I'm always that little 5-year-old kid that, you know, fucked up cooking the rice or something. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
It's you can't remove that lens.
I know,
which is good, in a way. That's how you stay real.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, that's why I always have this dream of like breaking into that mainstream. I mean, all of us make impacts.
What is the mainstream?
You know, it's just being in some stupid, dumb mainstream, like blockbuster fucking movie. You know what I'm saying?
So you're talking about mainstream, like acting mainstream or music mainstream also?
Yeah, I think I have this thing, like my parents just have to somehow feel like it's a big thing. You know what I mean?
Right,
huge thing.
What if you did the Tonight Show like as a rapper?
You see, it's tough to say because I don't even think my parents watch that shit.
You gotta do like the Korean version of the Tonight
Show. I gotta be on a billboard in Koreatown. Like it has to be between
like
Western and Vermont.
Gala.
Yeah. Yeah, like
you didn't get on that.
I know. And that's
get
the thing.
Next year.
And that probably wouldn't like that's not even the biggest shit. Yeah. But like if I was on that billboard, like my dad would see that shit driving down Olympic Boulevard and be
then
like
he can brag to his friends.
For sure. Like he would literally take a bunch of like drive by there on purpose and his friends would be like, wait a minute, this isn't the shortest way.
I thought we were going to Santa Monica.
Yeah, and pretend his car breaks down right in front of the billboard. Like, oh shit, that's my son right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, like I've done a bunch of shit, you know, like I've gotten featured in like a CNN thing and MTV thing here and there. But like when I made like an article in a Korea Times, like was like the big shit.
Yes, absolutely. Like when you make like the Korean Chinese newspaper, that's when it matters. Everything else, you can be on like.
Did you make it on there?
I did on the Chinese newspaper.
What was the
times.
What was the
One I think was for this movie Life at a Party I did, and one other thing was like for HBO or something, and they clipped it out and everything.
That's
it was
sick.
Cool. And I was trying to think what else. Oh, Larry King. I did like Larry King live once, and then that was a huge deal to him. It doesn't matter like I did Colbert. Like right. that was okay because they don't know.
Asian
don't
parents care. Would know Larry King.
But Larry King,
yeah,
that's like old school international, like they love.
Like
it.
My parents wouldn't know him by name, but like they'll look at him and be like, oh, that's that old white dude with the suspenders. Like they'll know him, you know.
I think that's my first credit whenever my parents introduce me to like their relatives or like so and so, the new friends. Like my Jimmy has been on right. Larry King.
That's the thing.
They don't care about Silicon Valley.
Right.
Crazy Rich Asians, it's like Larry King.
That yeah, I mean, yeah. That's huge. That is huge, man. I would say, you know, just seeing you're also on Silicon Valley, I had a question because I'm like, the Asian accent is, I can't do it.
right.
Like, I can't do it. Yeah. Like, have you done that before doing that role or what?
I had an Asian accent when I came to this country. I mean,
yeah, I know, right? But it's not the same. I mean, it's like it's, going backwards is right. Not the same thing.
But at least there's some truth to it. Like if you were to play a rapper in a movie, you can do it a lot better than probably I could because the life you lived it. It's like you've been method acting for like the last 15 years.
Yeah. And so, you've heard it around you.
Exactly. So okay. For me, it was like that. Like I know a lot of people with that accent. I was the guy that not necessarily have that thick of an accent, but I was the dude that didn't understand English when I came. So I understood the mannerisms and the confusion and what it felt inside for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the thing about it is what I noticed is like when I hear Asian accents in like movies or TV, mm-hmm. it's like really loud and aggressive. Like that character is kind of like a chill Asian accent. Like
I think it's a more realistic kind of
right.
mainland Chinese Mandarin accent,
right?
Instead of like kind of the more cliche Cantonese Bruce Lee-esque accent, like,
right?
So many people in the older movies will copy that accent, and it becomes kind of a caricature. So I just try to, because it's such a, you know, a touch and go thing with Asian representation, Asian accents. So I the only thing I could do was to make it as authentic and as funny as possible. Instead of, and that's the only way to get away from, you know, and walking that fine line.
It's not an over the top like angry. You don't Asian accent guy.
Be hacky, you know?
It's kind of like the Asian dude who's just like who's still confident about where he comes from.
Yeah, he's like he's tight.
It's like you stupid American motherfuckers. Like that's exactly. What it sounds like.
Like and the way a lot of times it's written and the way I interpret it, it's the joke's not really on this guy. It's really on like TJ or like the other guys yelling at him and acting like an idiot, and he's just kind of silently judging and not giving a fuck.
And I think that's kind of, it is the more realisticness because I also come from an area like where Asians like from Asia are just confident as fuck and they believe they run the town.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This shit is crazy, man. Nah, I noticed that about that specific accent and that character.
Yeah, like you know people like that. Like a lot of my uncles are like, you just see people like fobs even in K-Town, like Chinatown or like in Monterey Park and shit, confident as fuck. They are just very comfortable in their own skin. I wish I was that way. You know, when I first came to this country, I was young. So I tried my best to be as American as possible, which is kind of what the book was talking about, you know, like how to American. Like I'm just trying to be, listen to hip hop, play football, understand the Super Bowl and shit like that. Date a white girl. Like that was like my goals because I just wanted to fit in. But there's something I'm always jealous about when these like new immigrants, like Chinese or whatever, come to this country and they're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm better than all of you guys. I'm comfortable in my own skin. You guys are the idiots.
No, I see that, especially in this town. It's like, they're like way too confident for their own good,
almost. I wish I was more confident, you know what I mean?
My mom and my dad, like, I was born in Argentina, South America. So I'm like one of those Asians that was born in South America.
Uh-huh.
And they came, their first two languages was Korean and Spanish.
Mm.
And, you know, in the household, that's all they use, even with us. And then I forgot it as I went older. I know Korean because they started using that more. But
you don't know Spanish anymore?
Nah. Poquito. Yeah. That's like the one thing I know how to say, poquito. And then they test me more. I'm like, I don't know. We got here to L.A. And then, like, in Koreatown, like, if you know Spanish and Korean, you kind of don't even have to learn English.
You really don't, huh?
So, like, they literally have not picked a fucking English at all. Like, they don't
live in Koreatown still?
They still live in Koreatown. Oh, that's nice. Barely speak any English, but use Korean and Spanish all the time. Like, I'll introduce my mom to a black friend, and it's Spanish. You know,
that
I'm like
the craziest thing that they know Spanish but not English.
Yeah,
like, it seems like there's a skip of a step in the middle.
No, real talk. Americans. If you're not a Korean homie of mine, like my mom speaking Spanish to you, I'm like, this guy is a white dude named Chad. Like you're not gonna like he doesn't get it.
Awesome. Yeah, because they think Chad will have a better chance understanding Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
Than Korean.
That's what it is.
That's awesome, dude. So how often do you visit him?
I see him all the time. Like literally, like they're just in K-Town all the time. And it's the funniest thing.
Do they ever just knock on your door and bother you?
Nah, fuck no.
Oh, that's good.
No. Yeah. My dad and my mom has been split up since like I was like 12 years old, you know. Uh-huh. But the funny thing is they've both lived in K-Town their whole lives, and they live literally like 3 miles from each other and never run into each other in like over 10 years.
Do they never visit each other?
Like, no, they don't like each other.
They're actually divorced.
They're separated. They never like got divorced.
See, that's the Asian. I've always said if my parents were white, they would have been divorced. Like,
oh no, for sure. Like they have to make it official. All that. No. Like, yeah, I noticed that with Asian families that you know separate, they never get the divorce.
Shame. You don't even like
unless they remarry, and that usually never like the official ceremony doesn't happen. You know, my dad's dated a girl. My mom dated a dude. Like. They've never like remarried and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
interesting.
I don't think they would ever.
My parents still live together. They don't. Yeah. I don't. I think they argue all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever loved each other necessarily. I mean, Asian marriages aren't about that.
It isn't.
It's about convenience and making a baby.
I think most marriages could become that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it becomes a companionship. I guess.
I remember. I don't remember a time when my parents really like. Loved each other, you know. I know that sounds really sad.
No, same.
But they separated, and I think they separated because they came to America and they were like, "Oh shit, we're allowed to separate from each other." Because,
oh, yeah. In Korea, you just trap, and then you get pissed at each other.
Oh yeah, you would like you get looked down upon for splitting up over there.
Yeah, but I am at least happy that they are still living together,
right?
And they got a dog that they love, so like.
They're in the routine of it, which is cool.
I don't have to worry about it. If my dad was living by himself, I would be like, fuck.
I go through that shit all the time, my parents, like individually, you know, because as you get older, it's just harder to, you know, find somebody or a companion to be there for you and support you and shit.
Absolutely. They need a dog. Old people need dogs.
Oh, my God. My mom had, she started watching my dog after, you know, I started traveling. When I went on tour, my mom would watch it, and eventually, like, it would just become my mom's dog.
Yeah. Same. That same thing.
Yeah. And then I moved my mom into a nicer apartment. The first day she moves in, the dog dies.
No.
The dog dies.
How old was it?
It was pretty old. I mean, to be fair, that motherfucker was limping and couldn't see through one eye and shit. Yeah. But oh my God, my mom went nuts, bro.
Oh, no.
She was so sad, and I was like, oh my, I went, she was like crying over the phone. I rush over there and the dog's there, like lying there dead. And I was like, fuck. And I just had moved my mom into this new apartment and she's like, I don't want to live here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and I was fuck.
Shit, I just deposit down and shit.
I did. I put the pet Find deposit the down. God, so, dude, I couldn't do anything. Like, I literally tried to even get out of the lease. The dude was like, nope, you signed the lease. Like, you're in. And it was like the worst couple of weeks.
So what'd you do?
Nothing. I just had to, like, comfort my mom the whole time.
Did she get a new dog?
No, I thought about bringing a new dog. She's, like, scared that she'll get a new dog and something's going to happen to him. No, you know,
she just needs her little replacement puppy.
Should I just surprise her with a dog or
you
what?
You should. I think, because with my parents, we never had a dog in our family. Going around in Hong Kong, you can't really have a proper pet.
Is Asia like that? I noticed Asia's not a good place for pets.
Well, especially Hong Kong, because it's like Manhattan, New
it's
York.
Cramped,
it's 25
right?
stories, yeah. Like the apartments are like, you know.
Korea's like that too, actually.
500 square feet, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my mom wanted a pug, and I love pugs. So we found a pug, a little puppy, and then my dad was like, I hate this kind of dog. I think they look stupid. And I don't like dogs. Okay. So you guys get it. You guys take care of it. I would have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Now he's sending me videos every day of him walking her and just like loving her and just kissing her. And like, he is like the he loves her the most.
That's how
a lot of old people are.
I'll tell you one thing that really pisses me off is the fact that my sister had a baby, and now I have like this cute little niece, and my dad just it's like a different person. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just so sappy. Like,
they just
like,
need some love, man.
A great grandparent. And I'm like, where the fuck were you when I was growing up? Like, the dude was behind a newspaper most of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually saw a lot of what my, like, the love that my dad has shown me that now he's showing the dog. So he right. at least remained consistent. He's
reciprocating.
And all yeah. my friends on Instagram, like my dog has an Instagram account. It's just my parents posting stuff. Toffee Star Pug, if you guys want to follow her. But
Star Pug?
Star Pug.
Okay.
Toffee Star Pug. And then it's just like literally like my mom filing the dog's nail with a
oh my gosh, file. That's
then,
great.
And then my dad like blow drying the dog with a hair dryer. And all my friends are like DMing me. It's like, yo, I think your parents asking for a grandparent. I mean, a grandchild, basically. You know.
Oh, like, okay.
That's they want, okay. They really want a grandchild.
Do you say, are you only child?
No, I have an older brother, so the pressure's oh, okay. off a little bit.
Okay.
But they never pressure us, which is great. But whenever they see a girl that I'm with that they like, even just aesthetically,
right?
Like, say I never even brought this girl to them, but they're like, "Who's that girl on your Facebook? Huh? She's
right,
cute.
Right.
What's up with her? How's her family like? Yeah, is there a future in this? Like, they would nudge it." And that would sometimes fuck me up, like, you know?
Yeah. Do you, like, I mean, do you think about, like, do you want a wife and kids or what?
I do.
You do?
If the right one comes, like, it doesn't have to be now. Or
Right.
I don't have a timeline. Like, I'm young enough that I can still wait for the right one.
It's yeah, like, we're oh, around shit. The same age. And I would say, like, at that point, I mean, it's like people are getting married a little later.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays. And yeah. I mean, the only thing is, I guess, the biological clock for the girls or whatever.
Well, you can always date a girl that's 20 years younger than
that's true. That's true. It happens in Hollywood all the time.
My mom is 10 years younger than my dad. So
oh, wow.
At least that's a precedent that they have set. So I'm okay doing that.
Damn, that's
and tight. You know, we look young, bro. We can always find a white girl that's like 10 years younger.
You look especially young. Yeah.
Are we the same age?
I think, yeah, I'm 32.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we're definitely around the same age. Asian don't raisin unless you do a lot of drugs and drink.
For sure. But, for sure.
But, yeah, man. I mean, that's what. How are you close with your brother or what? Your older brother?
He's in San Francisco.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We don't really do the same things. We're simpatico. We're cool with each other.
Yeah.
But it's like he used to be the guy that would go to like clubs and like whatever stuff. I was never that guy. I would just play video games and like
right.
drink beer at a dive bar and stuff. And he cares about like having a nice car and stuff like that. I can care less.
Right, right.
You know. But yeah, so we kind of have different outlooks in life, you know.
Is he like a straight business dude?
Yeah, he's like a finance guy.
Oh, okay.
But he's always like he always tries to hustle. Like he always thinks he's smarter than people, so he's trying to hustle people out of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's like the straight,
trying to find shortcuts.
That's the Asian American kind of
very Hong Kong. Very
it's yeah. very better luck tomorrow. You know,
yes, like, yes.
I grew up with so many Asians that like hustled like that, had little side hustles. You know, I saw an interview. We talked about that shit too. How you like burn CDs for like $5 and shit.
Yeah, dog.
Why do all Asian motherfuckers do that? I did the exact same shit. Like I would.
We all business minded.
That's what it is. Like yeah. I remember kids, I would be like, yo, give me a list of like 15 songs, like go on Napster, download the shit, burn it and sell it for $5 yes. in my school. Like, oh my gosh. And that shit was a pain in the ass too. Cause some of those songs.
But like, it feels good. It feels like you're doing something. It feels like you're making something for yourself.
It's like the selling candy hustle, but more Asian.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like a...
it is.
I wonder if that's like a DNA thing, like genetics, or is it just because we saw our parents do it, that's how we're doing it. Like, you know, is it nature or nurture? I don't
know. Damn, I don't know. I always felt like I was an underachieving Asian, mm-hmm. but... still had that one element of me that was so Asian still that like
hustle.
You know what I mean? I still yeah. hustled even though I'd fuck up in other things. Like I could never fuck up too bad where I'm gonna get to the point where I'm like on Skid yeah, Row yeah. or some shit. You know what I mean?
And,
like,
and you're born here. So in a way you're not born here, but you were raised
pretty
in
much,
America
yeah.
for the most part. So you're much more American than, you know, me as an Asian, but you still have that thing.
Right.
Where you're very like you're a businessman. Every Asian person is a businessman at the
yeah.
end of the day. And also it's like, say, $200 don't really matter too much in the big scheme of things. Like, say, if I'm, like, buying a piece of furniture, but I need to get a discount.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just buy shit at full price, you know?
Yeah. Are you a good haggler or what?
Oh, great haggler.
I'm a terrible haggler.
What?
That's the one thing I didn't pick up. Like, my mom is like, I mean, forget about it. She will haggle. I remember going into the MTA bus and she would argue that I'm under 12 when I was like 15 years old.
Yes,
and
I was like, every Asian child has done that. Pretend to be younger.
Yeah.
At a buffet.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm literally, my voice is cracking. I got armpit hair and shit. And she's like, no, he's 12. He's a kid's fare for this bus ride. And I'm
exactly.
like,
exactly.
I think what happened was I was so embarrassed growing up about the haggling thing with my mom.
Yes.
That now I'm like, we don't have to do this, mom. Like, I can, you know, I'll take care of it, blah, blah, blah.
They make you feel bad about it.
Oh my God. I feel so shitty. You know what I mean? And my mom does that. And I don't want to make my mom, like, us feel like we're like yellow trash or something. You know what I mean? But like, I'm not a good haggler at all. You know what I mean?
I get anxiety whenever there's like haggling and spending money. Like, even if it's something I can totally afford, that's not going to make a dent necessarily, like a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Like, I still stress. And I got to think about, oh, am I going to wear this? Should I return this? Because I hear a voice in the back of my head, which is my mom. It's like, you spend how much on these shoes? You went to Nordstrom instead of Nordstrom Rack? What? You know? But now I find it liberating sometimes that sometimes I just like to buy some full price. Just so I could.
It's the flex.
I saw this shirt I like at Nordstrom. Fucking buy it.
It's the struggle flex. You know, we struggled.
Yeah, there you go.
We struggled enough for it. It's time for us to flex. You know, my mom, she still has that like cheapness to her.
Yeah.
But then I'll go to her house and she has the most useless shit she bought. Like, she's addicted to the Home Shopping Network or some shit. I'm like,
because they're buying it for the deal. The Home Shopping Network.
That's
like
what it
50%
is.
50% off. They're like, oh my God, if I don't buy it now, I'm a stupid person. Like, I got it. Come on, I got to buy it.
Yeah, it's my mom does the same shit. I'll go there and she'll be like, I got this skincare product. She's like, this is an expensive soap. And she'll cut the soap in half with a knife and give me.
Oh my God, yes.
Is that a thing?
That is a thing.
Oh man, it's
man,
a thing.
Man, dude, my mom has given me so many of these new soap product
bro.
Things, face cleanse or whatever.
Man, like, I'll have like girls over and go up to the bathroom and be like, yo, who the fuck lives here with you? Like, it's just mad shit, bro.
Oh my
she God. Cuts it with a knife, wraps it in some like napkin. It's like, this is very expensive soap.
Oh my God.
She got it at Ross or some shit, and I'm like, God damn it.
And like Swiffer pads, you know, those like pads. It says Swiffer pads. They always use like just like a piece of cloth, like a hand towel, and then they wash that shit, and then they use it again. You know what I mean? Like, we don't believe in buying name brand shit.
Bro, my mom gives, every time I go to her house, she gives me mad shit. And I'm like, it's cool. And later on, I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually using this shit. Like, I needed this.
Yeah, you know Asian gifts never come with a receipt. Because you know they got it on sale.
Oh, bro, it's crazy, man. Oh my gosh. I just realized there's like shit that happens in every Asian household. Like, I was like, oh shit.
Every Asian household, man.
Oh my God.
It's a financial guilt thing. And they can't, I don't know what it is. Like, why does every Asian person have to talk about deals? Like, it's always just about deals. It's not even about the product.
I think that's why, like, America just works with Asian people.
Yeah.
You know, there's deals in every corner here.
And I think you know what it is in Asia? If you don't haggle, if you're not getting a deal, you're getting fucked.
Right.
Like, straight up. If you had a open air market in Hong Kong and you don't haggle and you're not getting a deal, like, they are straight fucking you.
That's true.
So you have to get a deal. So here, actually, some of the stuff, if it's not a deal, it's still like a good product and it's nice and it's worth the money. But with that Chinese mentality, you just keep thinking, nope, I'm getting fucked. I need to haggle this guy.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I feel like that's just the culture out there. And like, the business people expect the haggle.
Yes. Have you seen those YouTube videos of like this white dude? He goes to like the Beijing, whatever market.
Yeah, I did see haggle. That. Yep.
It's crazy because they see that he's a white guy. He's speaking English. They'll say, oh, $200.
Right.
And then you can haggle it down to like 16 bucks.
Right.
It's that much of a difference.
That's so crazy. My mom thinks you could just haggle in places that's like you're not supposed to haggle. Like an actual like retail business.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to haggle at Ross and shit? Like, how the fuck are you trying to haggle over here?
I know, right? It's
Like she'll,
the
she'll
Nike store.
Yeah, she'll look at it, be like, "Are you sure?" I mean, there's a little dent right there. Like she'll just like look at flaws in it.
I've done that. I've done that. Like trying on shoes, I'm like, "There's a scuff. Can I get like a little 10% off?"
Right, right, right.
Hey, can I get the previous sales price on this?
it's amazing what you could do with it. Get your haggle bars up. That's what I say.
Yeah, the haggling, it's crazy. I learned a lesson when I visited my mom in Shanghai. This was when I was a kid. And she gave me, I don't know, like 500, you know, Chinese dollars. And then to go to the open air market, she was like, just buy whatever, you know, but make sure you don't take the first price they give you.
Right.
And I got like three pairs of jeans. They all like bootleg stuff or whatever. And then I spent all my money, right? And then I showed my mom. I was like super proud of it. I was like, "Mom, you know, I got these Levi's. I got this jacket, blah, blah." And then she was like, "How much did you spend on this?" I'm like, "Yeah, the $500. She was like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, no, I haggled it down. Like, these jeans was $500, but I got two pairs for like $350. She was like, "You could have gotten those for $35.
Oh my gosh. Think?
But she made me learn that lesson by giving me that money and go testing it out myself.
Man, that's crazy. That is some pro haggle shit, bro.
Yeah, I still remember that shit. But now looking at those videos on YouTube, I'm like, "Yo, for real, you could get it." Because they're good fucking actors. They make you say, they're like, $200. Okay, fine. I'll give you $180.
Right.
Like, seriously, I'm losing money. Yeah. That's how much it cost me. But when you walk away, that's when it's like, okay, $16.
Right. Damn. I don't know. I'm so not shy with a lot of things, but the haggling, I'm so fucking shy.
It's childhood I'm just trauma.
I think that's what it is. Did you okay? So I know like you produce beats.
Yes.
Like,
we made a song together.
I know, we did. We did a lot. It may never be released, or who knows.
It will.
Yeah, it will. But how did you, like, are you just a hip hop head or what?
Yeah, so when I came to America first, like, the first thing I saw was like Jay-Z, Big Pimpin', Cisco Thong song. Like, those were like the American dreams in my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way, it's true. Each music video was like 3 minutes of an American dream, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to live that. And it was just so foreign to me, like the whole hip hop concept. I never listened to any hip hop when I was in Hong Kong. So I started like really diving in, and all my friends that I made in high school were all like hip hop heads. So I started learning about Tupac, Biggie. I didn't even know they were dead. Like, honestly, like I was that ignorant. So from then on, one of my buddies, I got a whole chapter literally talking about how I got into like making a beats. One of my buddies got like a bootleg Sony Acid Pro program.
Classic.
So he got that. He chopped up some beats, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is awesome! I want to start doing it." So I downloaded a bootleg version of Fruity Loops.
Yep.
So I started making beats on Fruity Loops. I got all my friends to rap on it. I couldn't really rap, but it was like the first time I felt like I was doing something in my life, like and being creative. Like I still didn't know I was like a creative person. That's what I want to pursue as a career. But it just felt good.
Right.
That after 8 hours of sitting in front of my computer, I made something that's like a memento, you know?
Right.
It's like woodworking, making a piece of like art.
Right.
You know? So I just kept doing it. And then I started selling some beats online. There was this website back in the day called rockbattle.com.
Okay. Is that like a SoundClick?
Kind of. Yeah. I fucked with SoundClick, but Rock Battle was for beat producers.
Okay.
You can sell beats on there, but mainly it's for you to battle other producers.
Right,
to
right.
Test out
in
your
the forms
beats
and then stuff.
People
yeah.
comment to see if the beats are good. But then you kind of develop a pretty bad habit of making these battle beats, which are like really elaborate, got tons of layers, really loud, but not for a rapper to work,
gotcha.
Like rap on. Because some of the best beats are like so simple.
Right.
And it just works, you know, as a song. So I did that, and then for a while I got pretty good. I sold a ton of beats on like SoundClick. Not a ton, but I sold a good amount where it was a decent amount of money.
Oh, damn. So you were like in it.
I was in it, yeah. I sold a beat to...
Like leasing beats and shit?
To a porno site, you know.
That's tight.
A porno trailer and shit. That was like my dream, man. But then I just realized I didn't... Like it was kind of depressing sitting in the studio for like 8 hours a day. I didn't know too many artists to collaborate. It was just literally me making beats in a vacuum by myself.
Right, right, right.
So I had to find something else to do.
That is the studio life. It's very hermit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But if you have a producer you work with, like in your case, or if I have like 5-6 rappers that I come in and then can actually finish the end product, and we're collaborating, and then we're actually talking about sales strategies, maybe getting a CD out, stuff like that, then I think it would have been okay. But I didn't really know anyone. You know?
So you still do it, like, for fun?
I haven't made a beat in a while, but like the beat that we did with Too Short that I made that 10 years ago.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I still have a lot of beats I haven't exported out of my MPC. I had the card. I sold the MPC when I was super broke. Yeah. But I bought all my equipments back when I made some money. So I need to find time to just set up the studio setup and all that.
Yeah, yeah, and finesse all your beats into every film project you're getting
involved. I know, right? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
I can just imagine sliding like a demo to the director and shit.
I feel pretty sheepish about that. It took me a long time to ask certain, like John, Crazy Rich and stuff like that. But yeah, I heard, can we talk about that or no?
Yeah.
You got a
song. No, I got a song on Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, dog.
That's tight.
Congrats, my man.
I'm not going to get crazy rich off of it.
You
but,
might though. Like if the movie does really well, you get pretty rich off of it.
Yeah, I missed the screening of it. I was really hoping to go check it out.
Tuesday, there's another screening income.
I'll go. I'm going to go watch the movie. You know, I want to support all the homies, support you, support Nora, you know, check
it's
out.
It's a good fucking movie, man. Honestly, it's really good. You don't have to be Asian. It's just a fun, good time. And after like 30 minutes watching it, you forget that everybody was Asian. It's just a bunch of really cool, fun people.
That's tight. And it's so rare, too. Even the Asian element of it, you know what I'm saying? To see that, it's like crazy. And they were saying it's like...
First in 25 years.
25 years. And the last one was what?
Joy Luck
Club. Joy Luck Club, right?
Yeah, first studio movie in 25 years.
That shit is crazy to me. How the fuck has it been 25 years since the last full Asian cast?
I know, right? I guess it's this movie was such like right place, right time. Everything just hit perfectly. The book was a bestseller, you know, and then it's also the time where Hollywood is looking at diversity. And then it took people, the Warner Brothers and Nina Jacobson and Color Force taking a chance on us and really making a studio movie instead of, you know, an indie. I think everybody's really excited about it. So
I
can't be more excited. It's awesome. It's fucking awesome.
I mean, hope this is the beginning.
Just the friends I made on that set. Everybody, we're such homies now.
That's tight.
You can't say that about every set.
You guys were shooting overseas in where was it? Singapore,
Malaysia, and Singapore. Yeah,
that's sick, man. I'm sure you guys had a blast.
Awkwafina steals the movie. She's so good. I mean, everybody have their moments and everybody pulls their weight. John was saying we're like the Golden State Warriors. Like every scene from one to the other, it's like passing a baton and everybody made their shots.
But
Awkwafina is so fucking funny in that movie.
There's something about the Golden State Warriors, like very Asian about them. Something of Asian.
Yes.
Something very Asian about the Warriors, you know what I mean? I could just relate to them too. I'm like,
are you a Warriors fan?
I mean, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I do watch it and Warriors are so fucking good. Mm-hmm. They're just a good team to watch, you know what I mean? I fuck with Warriors, you know what I'm saying? But I grew up as a Laker fan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you get LeBron now. That's nice.
I know. We're back. Yeah. We're back.
That also means you can't afford any more Lakers tickets anymore.
I know.
It's going to be thousands of dollars for nosebleeds.
I know. I don't know what the fuck's going on with the NBA right now, you know. But I just know I played ball for the first time in years yesterday. And it was it was a fucking mess on the court.
I couldn't. I haven't exercised in years.
Bro, it was a mess. Luckily I played with fucking five other shitty homies and it was just a fucking, we just looked goofy as fuck on the court.
Yeah.
All my kids, Mexican kids looking at us, laughing at us and shit on the court. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So How to American, the book is out. Is this a bestseller or some shit right now or what?
Not yet. Okay. It's selling steadily, which is great. It never made because in order to make a bestseller list, one week you got to sell a ton.
Right.
But it's steady sold 10,000-15,000 copies and the audiobook's been doing really well.
The press run's been crazy too. I've seen you on fucking YouTube videos to mainstream outlets and shit.
The great thing is everybody that read it, especially Asian people, are loving it. So they're oh shit, I never heard this is so relatable. I felt about this in my life. So I'm super happy when I see those reviews.
I like it because I think it has this really good Asian American experience, but you've been here and you know, you've lived in, you're not I'm new to this country. It's it gives you the whole thing after you've settled in.
It's not a sob story. It's funny. Looking back at it, if I had to do it again, it's pretty sad and tough, but it's just funny. You know what I mean? I didn't want to make people, you know,
I like it cause it has the full grown Asian, after you've grown up here experience too, not the beginning side,
which
a lot of people cover the beginning side first, you know, but you have the whole went to the auditions. You have the list of shit you went through.
Yeah. That's my favorite part. part of the book, the 101 auditions and the audition log that I kept before the Silicon Valley audition.
Oh, it's because I'm going through that. I'm on audition number 33 right now.
Oh, really? You kept the log?
I mean, I could. It's easy. I just got to go through my emails.
Yeah.
It's pretty much similar to what you've gone through. You know what I mean? But thanks for coming on, man. Much love, Jimmy O Yang. How to American. Grab that shit at all the bookstores.
Amazon bookstores.
Bootleg it on your Kindles.
Well, you can.
Don't bootleg it. No, yeah. I'm sorry.
I think it's only $3 on Kindle.
I don't know why I encouraged that.
Yeah. Audiobook. Get the audiobook. I narrated it myself. It's pretty fun.
That's tight. Yeah. That's tight.
Use your Audible credit, you know?
That's what's up. Check it out. Yo, thanks for being on, bro.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yes, sir. Tune in next week. Comment below who else you want to see on the show. It's going to be once a week, once again. See you next time. Peace.